This is SEC Talk.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to it. Glad to have you guys here with us this evening. Glad to be back with you as we get geared up for Week 10. First week of college football playoff rankings are in. We're definitely going to run through that. Got a little bit of conversation we're going to have as far as that goes, but really glad to have you guys here. Glad to be back again. I know I just said that, but I'm going to say it again because why not? Why not just repeat yourself a few times when you get a show started? Doesn't make much sense not to do that, does it? Guess not. Anyways, let's get it started here. It's Holden. Don't have Cody with me. Do have Cody's picks. Do have some information from Cody on the college football playoff top 25 that released. We're going to give you guys our top four after that released of who we think it should be in that. Now, may or may not mean much to you, but this is just the guys that we're thinking. We're going to get to that. We're going to go back through and review the Week 9 games that did happen as well as the picks, and then we're going to preview the Week 10 games that we got coming up this weekend as well as our picks for that weekend. Start things off like we always do. Make sure you guys go and follow us on Twitter at SECTalk20. Would appreciate that on YouTube. Not on YouTube right now. The cam has been down for a few weeks. But you guys go sure. Make sure you go over there and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the video if you do watch the video. If you guys want to comment on there, what have you, hit that bell so you get a notification when we do put up a new show. Make sure if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you go and rate and review. Give us that 5 stars. We would appreciate it. Leave a review. It may be read on the show at a later time. Also, if you guys feel like supporting the show, you can do that. Hit that support link that we will leave in the description of the show. Gives you an option to, a couple of options to donate to the show. You can cancel at any time. We would greatly appreciate that. Let's jump straight into it. First and foremost, college football playoff top 25 ranking did come out on Tuesday. The first ranking to come out this season. We've got a lot to get to as far as it goes. We're not going to dive too deep as far as conversating because I'm by myself and it's really hard to have an argument for a team by yourself. Now, if you guys know me personally that listen to this, I can argue with this wall right here in front of me. So you could have an argument for that. I get it. I understand that. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to argue with the wall tonight. We're going to pretty much just run through that top 25. And then Cody, like I said, I talked with him a little earlier. He did send me who he thinks the top four should be on his side. And then I also have my top four as well, which we're going to get to. Then, like I talked about, we're also going to go back through the college football playoff final four preseason, what we had. And at the end of the episode, make sure you guys stick around because we're going to go back through what we had our preseason predictions on teams in the SEC so far this season. So basically what we thought each team would be looking like and doing. I'm going to run through those at the end of the episode. So that could be kind of a fun thing to look at. It usually is, to kind of see where we, you know, just kind of where we landed on things. A couple of teams I think we're doing pretty good on, kind of close on a couple of others, and then some that we're just way out in left field. But that's what's to come, so you guys make sure you stick around. We greatly appreciate that. But let's get to it. College football playoff rankings, again, first one out this Tuesday, and we're going to run through it. At the top, Georgia Bulldogs, the one team in the country so far that has proven week after week that it is the number one team in the country. AP poll for the past couple of weeks has basically reiterated that same exact thing. All votes being for Georgia in that one spot. They do come in first in the college football playoff rankings here in this first initial one for the 2021 season. Behind them, somewhat controversial, you got number two, Alabama at 7-1. In third, Michigan State at 8-0. Fourth, Oregon at 7-1. Fifth, Ohio State at 7-1. Undefeated Cincinnati at 8-0, sitting in the sixth spot. Number seven, Michigan at 7-1. Number eight, Oklahoma, the only 9-0 team in the country, sitting down in that eighth spot. Number nine, Wake Forest at 8-0. Number 10, Notre Dame at 7-1. Number 11, Oklahoma State at 7-1. Number 12, Baylor at 7-1. Number 13, Auburn at 6-2. Number 14, Texas A&M at 6-2. 15, BYU at 7-2. 16, Ole Miss at 6-2. 17, Mississippi State at 5-3. 18, Kentucky at 6-2. 19, NC State at 6-2. 20, Minnesota at 6-2. 21, Wisconsin at 5-3. 22, Iowa at 6-2. 23, Fresno State at 7-2. 24, San Diego State at 7-1. And rounding out the top 25 is Pitt at 6-2. So let's talk just a little bit about it. Georgia in the number one spot. Again, deservedly so, rightfully so, not much of an argument to be made there at all. The only argument could be, well, you know that Georgia game against Clemson to start the season didn't look all that good. Well, let's talk about what's happened since then, because Georgia has proven why they're the number one team in the country. Alabama, a little controversial being in that second spot. Now, if we look at the AP poll, they were ranked third, and I think have pretty much been in that top four, top five spot since the loss to Texas A&M. So it's not that far-fetched for Alabama to be in that two spot, but I am a little bit surprised of it. Just considering you got an 8-0 Michigan State right below them in third. You got an 8-0 Cincinnati who was dropped from number two in the AP poll all the way down to sixth in the college football playoff first initial ranking here. And I get it. They're a group of five team. It's a team in the AAC that's not in a Power Five conference, and they have been battling to get in for the past couple of years. They were right there on the cusp of it last year, and it seems like they're not going to get any love this year as well. They're not really playing teams. The only team that they did play is that one loss, 7-1 team down at 10th in Notre Dame. Cincinnati beat them. That's their clear-cut win on the season. A lot of controversial comes from that because the team right above them in 5th at Ohio State, 7-1, they don't have a really hard-nosed win so far this season. Cody and I have talked about it in the past. We've always thought that they're overrated. The one team that both of us can agree on, I'm fairly certain, well, I can at least, is Oklahoma, a team that has been overrated year after year. They finally decide to drop them down to that number eight spot, even though they're 9-0, undefeated. But the wins they've gotten, they have just skated by. It hadn't been the most pretty wins. And I get it. Most people are going to sit there and they're going to say, hey, a win's a win. You take it. You move forward with it. If you're winning, that's all that should matter. Why are we worried about them having to be ranked so low if all they've done is won every week? Well, then you do have to kind of dive into the games and see how that's done. See how that's done. In comparison, I guess you have to compare everything at this point to Georgia, whose offense may not be that potent, but that defense will stop you. And they've proven that week after week. They're not playing in close games, even against ranked teams in the times that they played them. So I can understand why they're ranked low like that. Really, the highlights of this and the surprises came a little bit from Alabama being above Michigan State. The next surprise was that Cincinnati was dropped all the way down to sixth. And then the last surprise, well, not really the last, but the next big one, I guess, was that Oklahoma was actually put all the way down in the eighth spot. I agree with it just because, again, I think Oklahoma's overrated. We've talked about that a lot this year, and they've continued that same sentiment, really. They just are squeaking by games in games that they should be blowing teams out, and it's just not happening. For a team whose offense has been very, very good in years past, Spencer Rattler's not the quarterback right now. It's Caleb Williams. So that was something we thought maybe this turns around for Oklahoma. But so far, it's still just not really putting teams away that you would really expect it to. I know at the start of the season, the conversation was that Oklahoma's defense is all of a sudden good and maybe going to be able to stop teams. Well, that went to the wayside. But oddly, their offense is not nearly as good as it's been in the past. So I agree with them being down in that eight spot. Really, once you dive down deeper, it's kind of cool to see how many SEC teams you got there. The SEC does lead this ranking with the most teams from a conference in the ranking. You got Georgia and Alabama there at the top two. Then you get another SEC team there just outside of the top 10 in 13 and 14. And then you got three in a row there, 16, 17, and 18. Between Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Kentucky. How about Mississippi State coming out of nowhere? One of the only three lost teams in the top ranking. Them as well as Wisconsin being in this top 25 ranking. But Mississippi State the past couple of weeks winning in games that they should and have done so convincingly that they find themselves in this top 25. It's kind of neat to see that. Glad to see all these SEC teams really getting some love and being in there. Now, let's get to what we think the top four should be. Mine. I'll start with mine, and then I'll get to Cody's. And we'll talk a little bit about it, I guess. Mine, I'm going to go with Georgia at the top. I think that's unanimous. Cody's got the same thing. In second, I want Michigan State there, partially because the win over a top 10 team in that of Michigan last week, to me, is enough for them to take that second ranking. If you're not going to put Cincinnati up there, and part of the reason I don't have Cincinnati up there is because, yes, some of the games that Cincinnati's playing, they are pretty much handily winning those games, but it's also against much, much less competition, especially than an SEC team. which is why I'll get to that in just a minute. But I think Michigan State, they're slowly but surely kind of proving themselves week to week. So I like them in that two spot. I still like Alabama in the three spot. And really, I guess two and three can be interchangeable if it came to the playoff today. But I still think Alabama being in that two spot, being a one-loss team, two at the time, a Texas A&M team who was unranked, which is now ranked and has proven to come up through the ranks with the possibility of some controversial stuff coming up that we're going to talk about when it comes to the SEC West. The SEC East has been decided, but the West not yet. A lot of crazy things can happen starting this weekend. So, give me Michigan State at second, Alabama at third, and in fourth, I like Cincinnati there. I don't think Cincinnati should be out of the top five at all. They're an undefeated team. Again, their wins don't compare quite as much, but I do think a Cincinnati team is better than an Oregon team who did beat Ohio State, which, you know, then fell to Stanford. But Ohio State, I still don't think Ohio State's all that good. I think Cincinnati's better than both of those teams. Michigan, Oklahoma, Wake, I think Cincinnati's better than all of those teams. There's a reason I didn't put Cincinnati, above a Michigan State or an Alabama. And that simply comes down to, I think if those teams were to play, who I think would win at this point. If Cincinnati was to play Michigan State, who do I think will win? I think it'd be a tight race, but I think in the end, Michigan State would pull it off. Alabama and Cincinnati, again, I give that nod to Alabama. Cincinnati, I think, is a good team, but I think Cincinnati would fall to Alabama if they were to play today. And it's not really a question for me if Cincinnati would beat Georgia, because Georgia beat them in the Peach Bowl last year. And I don't like going back in the past and talking about past games, but that was also a game where Georgia did not really care whether they were there or not. Half the seniors sat out and weren't worried about it. They were looking forward to their future and moving forward because they weren't playing in the college football playoff. So a lot of those guys didn't care. Now, Cincinnati did, and they came for blood and almost got it. In the end, Georgia pulled it out. But, again, not harping on last year, this Georgia defense is not the same team that was on the field last year. And I think everybody knows that. Now, down to Cody's top four here. Georgia at one. I agree, 100%. Alabama at two. Again, to me, it's just a little high. But, again, two and three are interchangeable, and that's exactly what me and Cody have done here. He's got Michigan State at three. Only thing I don't agree with in his top four is he's got Oklahoma at four. A team, and the only reason I don't agree with that is because I look at the guys who are above them. I think Oregon could beat Oklahoma. I think Ohio State could beat Oklahoma. Heck, I think Michigan could probably beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma's just not all that good of a team to me this year. They're struggling in games they shouldn't. You shouldn't struggle with a Tulane. You shouldn't struggle with a Tulsa, I think they played early. Teams that you should take care of them. If you're going to truly be a top five team in the country or a top four team in the country playing for a college football playoff or are looking to get that bid in, you have to prove that against the teams that you should. Now, it's okay to have an occasional week where you kind of stutter a little bit, and maybe you do only win a game by 10. Maybe you do only win a game by 3 or 6. But when that's happening week after week, and sometimes against inferior opponents, that's a problem. And to me, that's the reason they're not ranked in the top four. They're ranked all the way down at 8th. But nonetheless, Cody does put them in that 4 spot. I know we've been talking a little bit about them being overrated, so I'm kind of surprised that he's got them there. But, hey, that's his own opinion. I get it. Let's look back at the preseason, who we had in our top four. This is how Cody's lined up. Bama at one. Okay, could still happen. We'll see. Clemson at two. We've already ruled that Clemson is done for the season. Oklahoma at three. Okay, that's still possible. Notre Dame at four. A lot has to happen for Notre Dame to find themselves in. So, really, right now, he does have two teams in there that could be contending for this. In my list, I got Georgia at one. So far, we're sitting pretty. Oklahoma at two. It could still happen. I'm doubtful of it at this point. I thought Oklahoma's offense was going to continue to roll. But I had a feeling it was going to be just like the years previous. Oklahoma gets in that first round and then just gets booted right out. Now, Clemson at three. Like I said a minute ago, that we all know is out of the window. Here's mine that still has the possibility. And this is what I want to talk about now. And I said this preseason. I've got four either being Alabama or Texas. And at the time, that was because I anticipated the possibility of a three-way tie with Bama, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss. Now, that has since gone to the wayside. But let me tell you what is lining up right now. Georgia has won the SEC East. That was clinched this past weekend when Georgia beat Florida and Kentucky lost. When that happened, Georgia went ahead and clinched the East. But let me tell you what's lining up in the West right now. Coming into last week, Alabama's at the top. Ole Miss and Auburn pretty much tied for second with Texas A&M right there behind them. Well, Auburn beats Ole Miss and takes them out of the contention for the SEC West. Right now, you have Alabama in first, but you have Texas A&M and Auburn sitting right behind them, right behind Alabama. Two teams that are playing this weekend, Auburn and Texas A&M. Whoever wins that game, and really I guess the way this has to shape up is, if Texas A&M wins against Auburn this weekend, and then Auburn goes on to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl at the end of the year, Texas A&M, if I remember correctly, their win over Alabama and their win over Auburn at that point would have those head-to-head wins over those top two teams there, which at that point would catapult Texas A&M to be in the SEC championship game. Now, let me look at it this way. And this is something that is kind of strange. Auburn could beat Texas A&M this weekend and also beat Alabama at the end of the season and jump Alabama to play for the SEC championship game. Or the more common and what everybody believes is going to happen and could very well possibly happen, it doesn't matter what happens with A&M or Alabama. If Alabama just beats Auburn at the end of the year, Alabama continues and stays in that number one spot and plays for the SEC championship game for the SEC West against Georgia on December 4th. Here's where this still has a little bit of a shakeup to it here, though. I've said this, I do not think that if Alabama was to lose to Auburn or if Alabama was to lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game, I don't think that they get into the college football playoff at that point. I don't think they're going to take a two-loss SEC team. Now, I could be wrong because Michigan State could fall. All of these other teams that are up here in the top 10, a lot could shake up and these teams beat each other up to where all of a sudden it's like, okay, Georgia is far and few between everybody else and is undefeated. If they were to win the SEC championship on December 4th, they're in. That's a given. I think if Georgia goes undefeated throughout the season and was to lose the SEC championship game, I still think you take a one-loss Georgia, maybe in the fourth ranking, but I still think you take that team over a lot of others to still get in the playoff as long as they win out for the rest of the season. I think a 12-1 Georgia team who lost the SEC championship game will still get into the playoffs as long as they are undefeated through the regular season. But there is a possibility that my top four preseason, minus Clemson, if Oklahoma continues to win and a lot happens above them, Oklahoma could get in, but I still think there's the possibility that if all hell breaks loose basically in the top 10, if Georgia was to beat Alabama or Auburn or Texas A&M, whoever shows up to the SEC championship game to play them, all of a sudden, maybe that loser of that, whether it's Alabama or Texas A&M or Auburn, could find themselves as a two-loss team in that race. I doubt that that happens. I really do. I really, really doubt that that's going to happen. More likely, you're going to have the common Georgia. That's not necessarily common since 2017, but like an Ohio State coming in there. Possibility of an Oklahoma finding themselves in there anyways. You could get a dark horse with Cincinnati getting in this year, but more than likely you're going to see a couple of those teams find themselves back in the playoff as usual. I could see it very well ending as Georgia at the top, as long as they take care of business for the rest of the season as well as the SEC championship game. And then you could also have, you know, like an Oregon, an Ohio State, and then possibility having that Pac-12, SEC, Big Ten. And then if Oklahoma wins out, all of a sudden you get, there we go, we get our Power 5 teams in there minus the ACC, because I don't think Wake Forest is going to be able to run the board and be considered enough to get in that. Now, it's crazy because if Clemson was in their same position with the same record, Clemson would be the number two team in the country. That's the sad part for Wake Forest, but that's just the nature of the beast, because that's where that recency bias I don't think was ever thrown out the window, because if you do that, you look at Wake Forest, who is playing the same schedule essentially that Clemson would be playing, and guess what? They're not getting that love because their name is not Clemson. If Clemson was 8-0, they would not be ranked ninth where Wake Forest is, even though they're in the ACC playing ACC opponents. The same thing that Clemson would be doing. They would be the number two team in the country. But they're not going to get that love because, again, their name is not Clemson. So take that for what you will. But some interesting stuff could happen and could shake up in the SEC West because that's not a done deal. The East is a done deal. It's done this past week, which we're going to get to from reviewing the Week 9 games. But the SEC West is still somewhat wide open to a few teams. Some crazy stuff could happen, and it all starts this weekend because if Texas A&M beats Auburn, at that point for Texas A&M to get in, it's not in their hands. It's all in Auburn's hands. Auburn has to beat Alabama at the end of the year to give two losses to Alabama, to give two losses to Auburn. What would that actually be? Three, I think, losses to Auburn. And A&M still having two losses, but those head-to-head wins over in Auburn, over in Alabama, would give A&M the nod. And then you look at the other side. If Auburn can beat A&M, I know I just basically said this. If Auburn can beat A&M and Alabama, all of a sudden Auburn's in. And if Alabama just wins out, as long as they beat Auburn at the end of the year, it doesn't matter what happens this weekend between Texas A&M and Auburn. If Alabama can beat Auburn at the end of the year, Alabama's in. And you got to play for that SEC championship game. A strange thing could happen where it does shake up that top four. And if Alabama was to win the West and was to win the SEC championship game, I think you will get an Alabama and Georgia team playing in the college football playoff. I don't think they rank them second and third. I'd be surprised if they did, but I could see Alabama at that point being second or first based on, obviously, the way that the ranking is right now with Alabama at second. Alabama would be first, and I think you could put Georgia. Really, I think at that point, if you got a number one and number two team playing in the SEC championship game, and if Georgia was to lose that to a number two Alabama, I think Alabama's one and Georgia's probably third. I don't think you can really drop them very far if you don't just swap them because you don't want them playing again in the first round of the playoffs. But possibility of that being a rematch for the national championship or 2017 rerun, minus the fact that Alabama would be playing in the SEC championship game in that point, kind of a curious thing to think about. Lots got to happen. It's fun to get to it. Let's go ahead and jump into reviewing the Week 9 games from this past weekend. Missouri and Vandy. This was a game that I thought was going to be a lot closer. We'll get to the picks review here in just a little bit, but I said that this is the possibility of a game where Vandy comes in with a chip on their shoulder and stuns and scares Missouri, and I was right. I was right looking back at this one. It took Missouri scoring late to be able to come back and actually get the lead on this game. To be able to take care of this one because Vandy gave them everything they had. And I had a feeling that was going to happen coming into this one. Unfortunately, Missouri is going to be without Connor Bazelak. So that hurts them a little bit. But nonetheless, Vandy made it really close. Missouri 37, Vandy 28. Georgia, world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Strange game starting this one off really for the first quarter and a half. In the end, Georgia pulls it off 34-7. But with 2 minutes and 16 seconds, if I remember correctly, before the half, the score was 3-0. So basically, let's just say 2 minutes, just to keep it pretty simple, even though it's a little bit more than 2 minutes. Before the half, it's 3-0, Georgia with the lead. So you're thinking, okay, this one could be 3-0 at the half. It could maybe be 10-0 Georgia, 6-0 Georgia, maybe 3-3, maybe 7-3. Florida going into the half? No. We go to the half at 24-0, Georgia in the lead. Three touchdowns in a span of just over 2 minutes before the half. This is how it lined up. Georgia kicks the field goal there in the second quarter. 2.5 minutes before the half, I think it's Nolan Smith strips and Anthony Richardson run up the middle where the pile's moving. They're not calling it forward progression. Has been stopped because the pile's still moving. Nolan Smith rips the ball out, so gets a strip. The very next play, touchdown Georgia. All right, so now we're looking at 10-0. Florida gets the kickoff. Couple of plays. Tip pass from Trayvon Walker goes into the hands of guess who? Nolan again. Picks this one off. No yardage on the pickoff. Again, I think it was the next play, maybe two plays later, a big pass to Kiaris Jackson for a touchdown. Now we're looking at all of a sudden a 17-0 ball game. Now, no way this happens again, right? No way. It's not going to happen. Kicks it off. Florida drives a little bit. 50-yard pick six, N'Kobe Dean, for that Georgia defense. Making it 24-0 with like 17 seconds before the half. Finally, Florida realizes, all right, let's take this thing to the half before it gets too crazy. 24-0 in the end. Georgia does end up scoring another touchdown late in this one, as well as Florida scoring and getting in the end zone after Anthony Richardson actually went down in this game. And Emory Jones had to come in. But Emory Jones actually came in and was more successful than Anthony Richardson was in this game. He also got that rushing touchdown there near in the end of the game to get Florida on the board to keep them from being blanked for the first time, I believe, since 1988. That would have been the first time that Florida had not scored in a game since 1988, had Georgia's defense been able to keep them out of the end zone there at the end. And they did all they could. Unfortunately, they just did give that one up really late there in the game, really in mop-up duty time. One other strange thing, didn't see JT Daniels in this game. JT Daniels did not play at all. Stetson Bennett at the helm the entire time. In the end, it didn't matter. Georgia got it done 34-7. Moving down to a game that I wasn't really expecting, and this is the reason that Auburn is in the position that they are, to be battling for that SEC West contention. Auburn taking down Ole Miss 31-20. All of a sudden, Ole Miss's offense is starting to spit and sputter. Now, I know Ole Miss is missing out on a couple of wideouts, and I know that quarterback Matt Corral is not 100% right now. But all of a sudden, Auburn's offense is starting to click. Bo Nix has figured it out. I think ever since Bo Nix was benched in that Georgia State game, and T.J. Finley had to come in and bail him out at the end of that one to be able to win it, all of a sudden, something clicked in his brain, and he's been playing really good football. Now, they still lost to Georgia, but he's still firing on all cylinders, doing all that he can to continue to win games. It's kind of wild the way that Auburn's starting to come up right now. I'll give credit to Brian Harsin there in a team that, first-year coach, I wasn't really expecting much from Auburn. We'll get to that here at the end of the show when we go back through our preseason kind of predictions on teams and see how we're looking as far as some of that goes. But credit to Auburn right here. They came into this game knowing they were playing a high-powered offense with Lane Kiffin there, and they were able to pretty much slow them down. That defense of Auburn's starting to get better, and Auburn was also obviously able to put up some points in this one to win it 31-20. Really good game by Auburn. Way to go. Get the job done there, Bo Nix. Getting the job done for sure. Mississippi State and Kentucky, another game that I really wasn't anticipating Mississippi State to all of a sudden come up in. Mississippi State scoring the same as Auburn in this one, making it 31-17 over Kentucky. And I said this in weeks past. Georgia played Clemson off the top of the season. Clemson all of a sudden broken, can't win anything. Georgia plays undefeated 4-0 Arkansas. We hadn't seen Arkansas since. They went on a skid losing, three or four games in a row? Kind of rough there. Georgia plays Kentucky a couple of weeks ago. Here goes Kentucky doing the same thing. All of a sudden losing another week after falling to Auburn also. So now Kentucky kind of falling down the rankings as well. Mississippi State taking them down 31-17. But I will say this, Will Rogers is looking very good. Very good. I've given a lot of praise to old Will Rogers. I'm a Will Rogers fan and have been as far as talking about him on this podcast. And I think he's going to continue to do that. And hopefully he can continue kind of moving forward, progressing, instead of trying to – you don't want to take three steps forward and two steps back. So – credit out to him. Glad Mississippi State was able to pull this one out. It's kind of a wild game, too, because Mike Leach, the air raid guy, comes in, pretty much gets this game in the bag and runs the ball for the most part near the end of that game, which is kind of weird, you know, for an air raid guy to run the ball as much as Mississippi State did at that point. Let's run back through the picks from week 9. Again, there were only four games. Cody picked it like this. Missouri with a win over Vandy, they do that. Georgia, they do that. Ole Miss, they don't do that. And Kentucky, they don't do that. So, Cody, 2-2 on the weekend. I doubled down on my stuff. So, I think I end up going 4-4 because I took Missouri to win. I got that. But I took Vandy plus 16.5 because, again, I thought the Vandy was going to come in with a chip on the shoulder. And they covered in the spread there. Give me 2-0 right there. Georgia with the win and minus 14. Give me another 2-0 record right here. I'm 4-0, looking good. Now we go to Ole Miss. With the win, plus 3, didn't happen. 0-2. Kentucky, with the win, plus 1, didn't happen. 0-4. So 4-4 on the week for me. As far as that goes, I don't have all the updated numbers. Really need to go back in and update all the numbers. But I tell you what, let's jump into those week 10 previews real quick. All right, here we go. Right off the top, 12 o'clock slate, Missouri and Georgia. Missouri traveling to Georgia. Missouri, one of the worst rush defenses in the country. them and Arkansas State continue to go back and forth for being the worst on the bottom of the league or bottom of the country in rush defense. And if you don't think Georgia's going to come into this game, and it doesn't matter if Stetson Bennett's in, JT Daniels in, Carson Beckett, doesn't matter who at this point, Georgia's going to run the ball all over Missouri. This could be a game where Georgia runs the ball for 400 yards alone, just rushing. Zamir White could put up 200 yards by himself in this game, and right behind him could be James Cook with 150. That's going to be pretty fun to see. Georgia, I mean, opens in this one like a 39.5-point favorite. Now, slowly but surely going down to, I think, like 38, but still wild to think that Georgia came in that heavy of a home favorite against the Tigers in this one. Again, Missouri not looking really good. They're reeling right now. Got a lot of stuff to figure out before this, especially now being without Connor Bazelak as well. They do obviously still have Tyler Batty there, so there is the possibility that they are able to run the ball a little bit, but you're also getting against the top defense in the country, the top scoring defense in the country, the top team to keep you from scoring, I should say, as well as one of the top rush defenses in the country as well. So don't really expect Missouri to be able to move the ball very good in this one. Missouri could come into this game and get blanked. Could get blanked in this game. Let's move down to the Hugh Freeze reunion at Ole Miss. Liberty at Ole Miss. Liberty, 7-2 team sneaking into Ole Miss at this game. Don't be surprised if this game's a little bit tighter. I know the line on it's not all that high. I think it's like 9, 9.5 for Ole Miss. This is going to be a good game. Good game, Matt Corral. He's got to figure some stuff out there with some new wideouts to be able to move the ball. But Liberty's not going to give you any opportunity to make mistakes in this game. If you're making mistakes, Liberty will capitalize on them. And this could be a really fun game to have Hugh Freeze coming back in. This is going to be a game I could very, very well see. Just like Lane Kiffin returning to Tennessee a couple of weeks ago in the old trash game. I don't think many people are going to be necessarily that big of fans of old Hugh Freeze showing back up here in Oxford. So should still be a fun one to watch there. Could be a little bit tighter than that 9, 9.5 line on this game, but looking forward to it nonetheless. The biggest game of the weekend in the SEC is right here. Normally, this weekend will be an LSU-Alabama matchup as the biggest game, but it's not. It's not. Oddly, that game is not even the primetime game, and it's not really being talked about because there's not much to talk about because LSU is just has gone off the wayside. Kind of like Ed O, getting on the boat and just heading out. Heading out. But anyways, that is Auburn at Texas A&M. Two big, big matchups. I think, 13 and 14 matching up in this game. Auburn having to travel to College Station, Texas to take on Texas A&M Aggies. I don't know which way to go with this one. I really don't. I think this one is leaning at this point Texas A&M way, 4.5, if I remember correctly, at the line that I looked at just a little bit ago. So A&M, a slight favorite in this one, and I think that's all based on them being at the house because I think if this game was at Jordan-Hare for Auburn, I think it would be flipped. I think it would be 4.5 Auburn's way. But it just so happens this is A&M's way, and I really don't know which way to lean. Now, I make my pick at the end of this one, but I really don't know how to feel about it because this is a game that could truly go either way. Auburn could show up the way that it showed up the past couple of weeks and make a really good game of this. Texas A&M could show up the way that they showed up against Mississippi State and Arkansas, and Auburn could wax them. But it could flip the term. Auburn could show up the way they did against Georgia State, and Texas A&M show up the way that they showed up against Alabama, and A&M could roll Auburn. So it really depends on who shows up. If the Texas A&M team that showed up against Alabama shows up, and the Auburn team that just showed up last week against Ole Miss shows up, you're going to have a battle, a big, big battle in the 12th man up there. And that is going to be fun to watch. I'm really looking forward to this game. It's going to be a huge one. Bo Nix, he has to be on top of his game. On top of his game when it comes to this ball game. Same thing for Zach Calzada. You got a lot of really even matchups in this one between the running backs. You got Isaiah Spiller there at A&M. Then you got Tank on the other side. You got good quarterbacks there with Zach Calzada, Bo Nix. You know, it's kind of strange to say that, you know, feel like that's the thing we're talking about now. Zach Calzada, the guy who before the Alabama game we didn't have a lot of faith in. All of a sudden, he's become much, much more faithful throughout the rest of the season. A-chain there for A&M. Hunter for Auburn. So you got some good matchups that are really even in this game. Again, it's really hard to pick this one because it's just going to be a really good game. Looking forward to tuning in to that one here in the Week 10 slate. Moving on, Mississippi State at Arkansas, another one that could be really good. So, oddly enough, Mississippi State is not a favorite in this one. Mississippi State's ranked. Auburn is not, or Arkansas, excuse me, is not. But Arkansas is a 4.5-point favorite. 4.5-point favorite at the house against Mississippi State. Could be a fun game. Arkansas, again, this is kind of goes back. If Arkansas is going to get off the mat, now's the time to do it against a Mississippi State team who has beat teams that they shouldn't. But Arkansas, you know, both of these teams beat Texas A&M earlier in the season, who has turned it around since. This is another one that could really go either way. But I look for, you know, Arkansas just really has fallen to the wayside. All of a sudden, the Burks, they just kind of gone quiet. Quarterback there as well, kind of gone quiet. Will Rogers had a really good week last week, and if he can keep that momentum going into this game, I think Mississippi State pretty much handles this one pretty good. Like I was talking about earlier, LSU at Alabama, a game that usually has a lot larger implications, SEC West implications, and it does not have that at all this year. LSU, not any good. Alabama, good. Not a lot to break down in this game. You know, you've got a lot of defensive guys out for LSU. Alabama, starting to pick guys back up, getting healthy. Looking to kind of come into this game and probably exact some revenge still in the mind of Nick Saban from that 2019 season. I don't think Alabama holds much back in this one, especially being at the house. Yeah, watch out, LSU. This could be 38-0 going into the half. It could be 42-0 going into the half at this game. And I wouldn't be surprised. Would not be surprised at all. Not that Alabama's going to try to run it up, but I don't think they're going to slow down from doing that. Tennessee and Kentucky, this is another intriguing game right here. You got a Tennessee team whose offense has picked it up since Hendon Hooker took over earlier in the season and has continued that. Defense is starting to figure things out as well. And then you got Kentucky, a team who was 6-0 going into that Georgia game and since then has lost a couple of games in a row. Now you got them taking on Tennessee. They are at the house in Lexington. Some good things have happened there at Lexington this year, taking down Florida in a couple of games that maybe Kentucky could have lost or should have lost, and they didn't. They were able to pull it out there at the house. So maybe there's some magic left in Lexington. Tennessee coming in with a really strong offense here over the past few weeks. So that defense for Kentucky is going to have to be really good to be able to slow Tennessee and Hendon Hooker down in this game. If there's an over-under sitting at like 70, I hadn't looked at this one. Yeah, it might be one you want to take the over in because this could be a pretty high-scoring game. That is, if Will Levis and Chris Rodd can run the ball and get the ball moving offensively there for Kentucky. Could turn out to be a really good game. But, again, we've got some pretty good matchups this week. Pretty good matchups. Liberty and Ole Miss should be a good one. Auburn A&M was going to be a really good one. Mississippi State and Arkansas should be good. Tennessee and Kentucky is going to be a good one. Rounding out the SEC games, you got Florida at South Carolina. This somewhat has some interest. But when I say this, I think this is going to be kind of similar to the Missouri and Vandy game from this past weekend. I think South Carolina's got that little chip on their shoulder. Now, I don't think South Carolina wins it. Just like last week, I did not anticipate Vandy to really even have a lead in this game. But I think South Carolina's going to play with a little chip on their shoulder. Now, Florida may end up pulling this one out by a couple of scores. In the end, they could really dominate this game and kind of flex their muscles and really take over South Carolina. But something tells me South Carolina's going to stick around in this game. They're not going to win it. They may lose by 13, maybe even 14. I don't know what the spread is on this one. I don't have it right in front of me. But should still be pretty decent game and see if Shane Beamer can kind of light a fire under those guys for this home game against the Gators having to come into town. So let's get to our picks. Cody with these picks. Cody taking Georgia over Missouri. Ole Miss over Liberty. He's got A&M over Auburn. It's going to be a good one. Mississippi State over Arkansas. He's taking the favorites in this one. Mississippi State is not a favorite in this one. Arkansas is. So, Bama over LSU, pretty easy. He's taking Kentucky over Tennessee. That's a pretty good matchup. We're actually going to differ on some scores this year or this week. I'm glad to see that. Some picks this week we're going to differ a little bit on. Florida over South Carolina. Now, me, Georgia. Y'all know me. I'm going to do my normal picks on who I think is going to win. Actually, two games, I'm not going to pick who I think is going to win. I'm just going to pick a spread. But I also like to add a little extra to it. Georgia, I think, wins, but I also am going to take the under 59.5 just because I think this game could go like 54-3, which is under that. This game could also be 45-10. You know, it's going to be right there on the cusp, but I think that's going to stay under that 60-point margin. But nonetheless, I still think Georgia wins it. So there's a couple of picks. I got Ole Miss over Liberty. And this is the two games that I, again, like I said earlier, I can't pick who I think is going to win. But I like Auburn plus 4.5. That's because if Auburn loses by a field goal, guess what? You still cover that. If Auburn loses by one, you still cover that two. You still cover that four. You still cover it. So give me Auburn plus 4.5 because also if Auburn wins, guess what? They cover that as well. And then the other game that I'm still not real sure on, I'm not 100% sold on Mississippi State because I think Arkansas could all of a sudden bow their necks as well and come into this game and play really hard and play this game tough. Just don't know how much of that's going to happen. But nonetheless, another team I'm not going to pick, whether it's Mississippi State or Arkansas, I'm just going to take Mississippi State plus that 4.5 in the spread. Again, same situation as Auburn. In that possibility that Mississippi State can win, guess what? It covers. If they lose by a field goal, it covers. So, give me Mississippi State plus 4.5 in this one. The last three, almost the same. I do take Bama. I do over LSU. I do take Florida over South Carolina. But guess what? I'm going to change it up. I'm going to take Tennessee over Kentucky. Tennessee on the road, but I still think Tennessee's offense with Hendon Hooker is going to be just enough to get the job done against Kentucky, a team who, you know, it's kind of just starting to fall on the wayside. Let me see if I can find my picks from this week buried in the rubble over here. Here we go. That's the last thing I want to run through with you guys, our preseason picks for this season. Cody's I never did get, so I guess I'm just going to run through mine. This is how it shapes up. I got Alabama. I'm going to start at the top, and this goes alphabetical order. I got Alabama finishing 11-1. We're on a pretty good path there. Pretty good path. Arkansas. I've got Arky finishing 7-5. Let's see where Arkansas is sitting right now. Let me just make sure I got all my stuff right. Arkansas sitting at 7-5 is what I've got them ending. Right now they're 5-3, so that's still possible. Looking at the remaining schedule, Mississippi State at LSU, at Alabama, Missouri. Whew. If they can beat Mississippi State, I think they'll beat LSU, even though it's at Death Valley. Alabama's going to be tough. So 7-5 is still attainable. They beat Mississippi State. They beat LSU. There's that 7 mark. They lose to Alabama and beat Missouri. Who knows? Maybe if they lose to Mississippi State, beat LSU, lose to Alabama and beat Missouri, look at there. We're 7-5. So I'm on a pretty good path there. Here's the team I was wrong about, the team that I think finished. I had them picked to finish last in the SEC West, and that's Auburn. I had them preseason picked at 4-8. So far, they've already surpassed that. They're 6-2 right now. Now you got them at A&M. Now, things could shape up a little funny for them. At A&M, you got Mississippi State. At South Carolina, they'll win. Alabama, there are three losable games out of these last four. So even if they lost those next three, you're still looking at a team that, 6-5, and then you beat South Carolina 7-5. So they're going to project better than what I've got them. So that's the team I am wrong about. Florida, 8-4 was my preseason pick on them. That's not looking too bad. They're 4-4 right now. The last four games they've got for the rest of the season, all winnable. At South Carolina, Samford, at Missouri, and Florida State. The only team that I think they should or might struggle with is Florida State, just because Florida State's kind of been inconsistent. So far, that 8-4 record, and also I have them finishing third in the East right now. Everything's lining up pretty good for that. Feeling good about that. Georgia, 12-0. Still feeling really good about that. We're going to see. We're going to see how that ends up. So far, on the top five teams here in the SEC, feeling good. Four of those look like they could be pretty close to hitting Auburn. Again, I was wrong about Kentucky. I have them finishing 8-4 and second in the East. Still looking pretty decent on that, 6-2 right now. And their remaining schedule looks like this. Tennessee at Vandy, New Mexico State at Louisville. Tennessee could be their next loss. That could put them at that 6-3 mark if they were to lose this weekend. Again, I got Tennessee beating them. Then they beat Vandy, beat New Mexico State. And Louisville could be the deciding factor whether they do finish 8-4 or whether they end up finishing 9-3. I could see them finishing 9-3 this year. That's definitely a possibility. Then we go down to LSU, the team we both thought was overrated coming into this season. Right now they're 4-4. I've got them projected to finish 8-4. That's not going to happen because they're not going to beat Alabama this weekend. So this is going to be more of like a, 7-5 kind of season. looking at the rest of their schedule, which could shape up actually, that's going to shape up worse than that. Because you got out of Alabama, you got Arkansas, they could lose that one, probably will. Louisiana Monroe should win that one, and then Texas A&M to round out the season. So I see at least three more losses. Three more losses on the board for them. So they more than likely are going to end the season at 5-7. That's a rough record there for LSU just a couple of years off of the playoff. Ole Miss, I had them 11-1. Obviously, that will not hit being 6-2 right now. Their remaining schedule, Liberty should win. A&M, definitely losable. Vandy and at Mississippi State. So you still got a couple of losable games in there. Obviously, that 11-1 is not going to hit. Mississippi State, I've got them projected at 8-4. Looking at where they sit right now, they're 5-3. It's possible. Looking at the rest of their schedule, we're looking at here at Arkansas. It's going to be a tough one. I think Mississippi State ends up probably pulling this one out, though. So they pull that out. All of a sudden, you're looking at a team now that is, what, 6-3? So all they got is one more loss on the board. Let's see what the rest of their schedule looks like. At Auburn, that's a possible loss. Tennessee and Ole Miss. Tennessee State, excuse me, and Ole Miss. So 8-4, still attainable. Still attainable. Got to win a few more games. Got to lose one more. But it's still attainable to end up 8-4. South Carolina, I've got projected at 3-9 preseason. They're 4-4 right now. 4-4, so they did win one more game than I anticipated them winning. This is how they shape up at the end of the season, though. Florida, at Missouri, Auburn, and Clemson. That at Missouri game could be a really good matchup. Clemson, that all of a sudden could turn out to be a really good matchup at the end of the season. So that still could be pretty close outside of they do end up getting that one more win than I anticipated them getting. Tennessee, they're the team that has completely flipped it for me. They're the team that I thought was going to turn out to be really on the downside this year, and they have actually shaped up pretty well. That offense has kind of come alive since week three and has taken over since then. I had them preseason projected at 5-7. Right now, Tennessee's sitting at 4-4 the rest of their schedule. At Kentucky, a losable game, but I think they win it. Georgia, they're not going to beat Georgia this year. I say that. Let me take that back, knock on a little wood here, because they very well could. That offense, if it continues to move the ball the way it has and the defense continues to progress, they could give Georgia a fit. I think that'll be Georgia's last test for their schedule for the rest of the season. Tennessee rounding out with South Alabama and Vandy. So you're looking at least two wins there at the end of the season. So that's at least 6-4 and then possibility of two losses. Then all of a sudden you're looking at, what is that, 6-6? So 5-7, still an attainable thing if they were to lose to Kentucky and Georgia maybe. So, I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that. But that 5-7 is still a possibility. Still a possibility of happening. Texas A&M, I have them 11-1. That's not going to happen. They are 6-2, but I think looking at the rest of their schedule, Auburn at Ole Miss, Prairie View, and at LSU, A&M still could end the season at 10-2, though. Could end the season at 10-2 if they can take care of Auburn this weekend. It's going to be tough to do, though. That's a tough game. At Ole Miss, shouldn't be a tough game, but it can be. It can turn out to be a tough game with that high-powered offense, depending on what team of Texas A&M decides to show up. But they should handle the rest of the season. And then the last team, Vandy. Oh, Vandy, Dandy. Oh, Dandy, Vandy. So far this year, Vandy's the only team off this week. Only team off this week. Looking at Vandy's record, though, they are 2-7. I projected them 3-9 by the end of this season. Right now, they're 2-7. They got Kentucky, at Ole Miss, at Tennessee. They're not going to win any of those games. So, I'm going to be one game off. And I think that game was, who was the game that I had them losing to that they didn't? They came in and actually upset a team. Eastern Tennessee at the start of the season? No, they lost to them. Beat Colorado State. Lost to Stanford. Beat UConn. I guess that's their only wins. Colorado State and UConn. Yeah, so they may not win another game. That was the game I picked incorrectly at the start of the season with Eastern Tennessee. I thought they might beat them. That didn't happen. So that's kind of looking back at least on mine. Again, I don't have Cody's preseason schedule, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd have been able to give that to you guys at the same time going through mine. But I guess that's the way it'll shake out. Some teams, I mean, I feel kind of good. You know, halfway through the season, I was like, we might need to redo these. And we still, you know, probably should have, but we never did. But a couple of these I'm still feeling pretty good about. I'd say at least maybe 65% of the SEC I'm feeling pretty good about my preseason rankings on them and prediction anyway. A lot of them could come true. A couple of them are pretty spot on. A couple of them I'm a little off on. Really, Auburn, I'm off on a little bit. LSU, I gave too much credit, even though we said they were underrated beforehand. Ole Miss, I gave a little bit too much credit. Again, I thought that offense would be a little bit better than it has been in weeks that it needs to be. A&M, again, I just kind of overhyped them two teams just a little bit much. But then the team I was also incorrect about was Missouri and Tennessee. Missouri, I think, was the one I actually just skipped right past because I had them preseason projected at 8-4. They're not going to finish 8-4. I think Missouri right now, let me just look back and make sure I didn't. Because I thinking about it now, I think I did. They're 4-4, and that means they got to win out for the rest of the season. That's not going to happen considering they got Georgia this weekend, they got Florida in 2 weeks, and they had Arkansas, yeah. Missouri was another team I thought was going to be a little better, and they're not. And Vandy's even worse than I thought, and that's hard to do. It's hard to be worse, but that is kind of the way that shakes out. Yet again, you guys, I really appreciate you guys being here with us. Make sure you subscribe and follow. Make sure you subscribe wherever you guys are listening. I'd appreciate that. Go check out Twitter again, at SECTalk20. And tune in on Monday where we will come back in and review Week 10 games. Check with you later.